My first love, my first heartache. I had lots of girlfriends in my primary school days. I guess I was reasonably cute in those days, and the girls were not averse to me. But it was during my high school years, when I was about standard 7, grade 9, that I had my first real girlfriend. Irene was a year younger than me, and she was an extremely talented gymnast who eventually obtained her national colours. We'd been going steady, that's what it was called in those days, for about a year and a half. And for some reason, we broke up. I hadn't seen or heard from her for many years. The next time I became aware of her was about the same time that I had just started full-time employment as a clothing salesman. One Sunday morning, my brother Mark came and showed me the back page of the Sunday Times newspaper. There she was, my Irene. A stunningly beautiful model in a bikini. Mark joked about what I had lost out on. Being the confident person that I am, I responded with a chirp that went something like, "I can have her back any time I want." He said there was no way and invited, or perhaps taunted me, to take a bet with him, if I was that sure. Once again, my mouth had got ahead of me, so I had no choice but to accept the bet. I set about trying to track her down, and I eventually managed to get hold of her telephone number. I called her and asked her if we could meet. No problem. I thought I was already halfway to winning my bet. We met, and she looked amazing. But during our chat, she dropped the bombshell that she was getting engaged. What made it worse was that she was to be engaged to an Air Force pilot who was a couple of years older than me. It occurred to me that I could have been a pilot as well. Had I watched my mouth a couple of years before? To complicate matters even further, her sister was already engaged to his brother. For goodness sake, this was almost legal hillbilly family. There was no doubt there was still mutual chemistry, and in fact she asked if we could see each other again. Perhaps all was not lost. We met again and again and again. We became involved. We were in love all over again, but sadly her parents did not take kindly to this and threatened to kick her out of the house and disown her if she continued to see me. Why, I asked. She loved me. Her parents had always liked me. I'm a good person. I know I'm going places. I can offer her a fantastic future. Really, what was the problem? I will never forget what her father said to me on the phone when it all came to a head. You're just a clothing salesman, and that's all you will ever be. Ouch, that hurt at the time. Of course I had a suitable response to put him in his place, but it didn't matter. Irene had to make her own decision. She decided to think about it, and we met a couple of days later, and she told me her decision was to dump me. This was the first time in my life that I had been dumped. I was surprised, shocked, and devastated all at once. I had won the bet and lost my first love. Lessons learned? 25. Do not gamble with love. Getting married the first time. After having been dumped, I guess we humans tend to do the most natural thing, date someone else while we're on the rebound. Back at the clothing store, they had appointed a new young girl as a debtor's clerk. Jenny was a Jewish girl who was the same age as me, and I decided to ask her out. She was a shy, quiet, kind girl, and was easy to get on with. Over the next couple of months, we dated regularly, and we fell in love. She had a fairly close family, and I got on really well with her parents. At first, it was okay, but once again, the parents were going to be an issue, as what had started as a casual dating-type arrangement started to become more serious. Jewish parents want their children to marry Jewish people. I was therefore a great concern to her parents. I was fairly settled at this stage. I was working at Olivetti. I had a steady girlfriend. And I was still playing a fair amount of soccer. I was playing for two different sides, one that competed in the Southern Transvaal Second Division League and another less serious side that competed in the Sunday Commercial League. I had training sessions twice a week as well. I was a fairly busy 20-year-old. For reasons I cannot recall, Jenny and I decided to live together. I guess it was partly driven by the substantial travelling that I was doing at the time. I lived in Ridgeway, southern suburbs. I worked in Benoni, eastern suburbs, and Jenny lived in Highlands North, northern suburbs. I was all over the place. When you are young and naive, you tend to follow your emotions. My parents weren't happy about us living together, being the committed reborn Christians that they were, and they certainly didn't waste any time dishing out the living in sin lecture. But if you think that was bad, then you should have seen how Jenny's parents reacted. When they were confronted with this wonderful news, I was a nice boy, but I wasn't a nice Jewish boy. There was no turning back. And as I set my mind to it and we moved in together, we rented a small flat in Rosettenville. By this time, Jenny was a manageress at a ladies' clothing boutique in town. Our flat was close to a bus stop, so transportation for her was not a problem. Now I only had to drive from the south to the east and back every day. I was always good at solving problems. Up until now, despite regular pressure from my parents, I had not been saved, and thus, according to them, there was no way that I was going to get to heaven. This was obviously of great concern to my parents. I wasn't concerned because I believed that I was a good person and I would be judged according to my deeds when Judgment Day arrived for me. I had attended a couple of happy-clappy services, but they never quite appealed to me. I enjoyed standing there, especially when they started calling for the people who had not been saved yet and asking them to put up their hands. The pastor always stated, "We do not want to embarrass you. Just put up your hands so we can see who you are. Nobody else is looking. Everyone else is busy praying." Almost always, some people would raise their hands, and the next thing, before they knew it, they were whisked to the front of the church to stand there before the entire congregation. What about the promise of no embarrassment? If you can't trust pastors, then who can you trust? After a few months of living together, for some reason, I felt that I needed to attend a church service one Sunday evening. Jenny, being Jewish, had no desire to accompany me, so I went on my own. We finally got to the fun part, where they called for souls to be saved. I don't know how and I don't know why, but before I knew it, my hand was in the air. Next thing, I was saying the sinner's prayer, and I felt good about it. Maybe it was because I had now booked my ticket to heaven, or maybe it was because I was just starting on a spiritual journey. Obviously, when I told my parents about this, they were delighted that now all their children had secured their tickets to heaven. I'm an all-or-nothing person. I either do something properly or I don't bother doing it at all. This caused a few problems for me over the next few weeks, as I began to feel guilty about living in sin. It suited me, but I was feeling guilty about it. Jenny had begun to show some interest in Christianity, but being Jewish, it was a difficult thing for her to comprehend and come to terms with. She was delving into an area regarded as taboo by the Jewish fraternity. Prior to this interest, she had displayed no spiritual awareness whatsoever. My pastor at the time was a fantastic, young, and easy-to-get-along-with guy. He was extremely knowledgeable on the differences between the various faiths, Judaism, Islam, etc. He had studied these in depth. He started spending a bit of time with Jenny and I and explained the differences to us. At the end of the day, in my opinion, Judaism and Christianity are fairly similar. The only difference is that Christians believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, whereas the Jews believe he was merely a prophet and the true Son of God has yet to come. There are a lot of Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ, and they are called Messianic Jews. I was not sure why, but it was not too long before Jenny decided she wanted to become a Christian. At first, I thought this might be due to the pressure of facing a breakup of our relationship, or perhaps as a result of great sales pitch from the pastor. But I didn't worry about it any further. The reality is that Jenny has maintained her Christianity right up to this day, so clearly it is something that she believes in. Sadly, Jenny's parents decided to disown her. How could they accept that their Jewish daughter believes Jesus was the Messiah? This was a traumatic experience for Jenny because she was quite close to her family, especially her father. Now that we had solved the spiritual compatibility, we had to address my conscience. So we decided to get married as soon as possible. Reluctantly, her father signed the required papers to grant the permission to get married, as she was not yet 21. For him, it was done in almost a closure manner. His final farewell to his daughter, who had betrayed her faith. We got married in a small ceremony on Sunday morning in May 1982, just a few weeks prior to my 21st birthday. This time I had no choice but to ask my father to sign the legal papers to grant me permission to get married, as I was still considered a minor. Ironic, isn't it? Lessons learned? 26. Marriage is not a convenience, nor is it a means to appease your conscience, and it therefore should not be taken lightly.